As we think of joy today, there are many things that we can come up with, but a question that I have titled this message, Who Are You? And there's a lot of ways we can look at that, a lot of ways to respond to that. But my question is, who are you? Are you a witness of Jesus Christ? Are you a child of God? And I think we can all say yes, yes. But do you believe that in your inside, to your inner being? Is that something that if someone comes up and says, who are you? You can say, I'm a child of God. Now, granted, some places that's not the most accepted response, and I get that. Kind of needs to be appropriate, but are you a witness of Jesus? And I know you don't wear camel hair clothes and eat wild honey and locusts. I'm pretty sure of that. I've not seen any show up on the snack bar, so I'm quite sure. But nonetheless, are you a witness? The dictionary that I used defines witness as an open profession of one's religious faith through words or actions. An example would be a faithful Christian witness. Kind of a little bit of humor here. Lawyers and witnesses. A lawyer asks the question, what is your date of birth? The answer, July 15. Lawyer, what year? Every year. It was an honest answer. Another one, the lawyer poses, can you describe what the person who attacked you looked like? Witness, no. He was wearing a mask. Lawyer, what was he wearing under the mask? His face? Those are things that happened. And it's kind of humorous to think about. But as we think of these things, it's easy to become rattled when answering questions, especially in a courtroom. Anxiety and fear can take over, but God is bigger than that, always. A few years ago, we were coming home from church, and I can still picture this. We were stopped at the light, and a car blew through a red light, hit another car, just missed knocking that car into our vehicle. We're sitting there watching all this happen right in front of us. And it was just immediate. But you know, 15 minutes later, when the officer came up and asked me for my description of the accident, I struggled with what actually occurred. And I thought, I just watched this happen and tried to replay it. A lot of it was I was just rattled. And I had to calm down and allow God to just touch me and to turn out an honest answer. And the things I couldn't remember, say, I can't remember. So as we go back into today's reading, I want to highlight a couple of things. This is the testimony. The word testimony, you can use the word witness. So this is the witness given by John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, which is another interesting part because in the commentaries, they didn't have the authority to send the priests and the Levites to talk to him. That wasn't within the purview of the leadership of the church to be able to even do that. But nonetheless, it apparently happened. But the question that they ask him as we started this message, who are you? They posed that to John the Baptist. And he confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, I am not the Messiah. He didn't say who he was, but he clearly said who he was not. So there was no confusion that in that part. He was very clear. And when they ask him, what then, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Then they said to him again, who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? The sermon text has a lot to say about witnessing and light, and why we are called to share the good news of the incarnation. And that brings back to why we are called to share the good news. In John verse 1 through 15, and as we go through this, notice how the light and life are linked into this scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And that kind of gives us a picture of where everything began. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that he was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then in verses 6 through 8, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And again, this is kind of a little repetition, but it's important to think about. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, and all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And as we noted earlier, John told him who he was not. Verse 19, and this is the testimony of John. This is the witnessing, the story of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He clearly wanted everybody to know that, no, that's not me. And they ask him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. This refers back to Isaiah 40 and verse 3, which we read last week, a voice in the wilderness. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? And he'd already told them, but they kept coming back. Well, but who are you? We need to give an answer to those that sent us. What do you say about yourself? They were wanting a personal response. And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Again, who are you? In verse 24. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, which, according to the commentaries, shouldn't have happened, but it did. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? In other words, who are you? Are you qualified to even do what you're doing? Can you even be a witness or a testimony of something? Is that within your purview? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. John wanted to make it clear he was directing people to Jesus. John said who he was and who he was not. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. In that culture at that time, slaves were the ones that carried the sandals, the spurs or whatever, as they were removed. John is saying, I'm not even qualified to touch his sandals. He is so much better than me. These things took place in Bethany across from the Jordan where John was baptizing. Another key word in this Gospel of John is witness. In the book of John, we read of 8 examples of a witness to Jesus, the Son of God. In chapter 5 and verse 37, the witness of the Father. In chapter 8 and verse 18, the witness of Jesus himself. Chapter 5 and verse 36, the witness of Jesus' works. Chapter 5 and verse 39, the witness of scriptures about Jesus. In chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, the witness of John the Baptist. Chapter 4, verse 39, chapter 9, verse 25, chapter 12, 17, the witness of those who interacted with Jesus. Chapter 15 and verse 27, the witness of Jesus' disciples. And 15:26, the witness of the Holy Spirit. Which brings us to the question, is our witness important? In today's world, we call it giving your testimony or sharing the story about God in your life. That would be putting it in the modern language we would understand. So is your story important? Is sharing your story important? Stories communicate what's important to us through emotions. It affects our heart. It gets inside of us. It's a part of the whole event. They connect with listeners' hearts, and that's where transformation occurs. The transformation and understanding and accepting of Christ and the words that are shared, they become a part because of stories. People remember stories. Have you ever gotten together with a group of friends, maybe from 20 or 30 years ago, and immediately stories start to flow? Oh, you remember when so-and-so, yeah. And sometimes the stories are funny, and sometimes the stories are painful. And we hope that we don't share the painful ones, but stories affect us. They bring back those feelings. They bring up emotions. So the sharing of stories is very important. Harvard professor Marshall Gantz developed a framework for our stories. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to read this slowly. I know some are taking some notes and I want you to be able to pick up on this if possible. Number one, the story of self. What God has done with me and how I've known God. So if you're thinking of your story, of your testimony, of your witness, it's about you. It's not about somebody else. And what God has done in that story. Many of you have recanted numerous times your story. And there's parts that are kind of painful. But yet, it's your story and you share it. And how you know God. How God reached in and touched you. The story of us. What God has done with us. How we have known God. Again, that's your story. Maybe it's your family story. Maybe it's a friend in you's relationship. The story of us. The story of now. What God is up to now. Is your story with God different today than it was 5 years ago? Still had the same beginning, I'm quite sure. But is today's version of your story more connected with God than 5 years ago? More of you ekes out. More of God flows out into others because you've become more comfortable. Just different things to think about. Will you consider sharing your story as a witness of Jesus and his second coming? And I realize, is this a big ask? For many, it is. It's a huge ask. But in reality, we are called to share the good news of Jesus, the light, the life of the world. There are many ways to share your story. I want to share a few ways or a few things. Verbally telling your story, that's one way, and that's probably the one that's most fearful. You know, I can't do that. Actions and behaviors is another way to tell your story. Yesterday, I watched the story of Jesus played out over and over and over in relating to the children that were here. There was no doubt that God was not working in and amongst everyone yesterday. Behavior and actions, yeah, there was no question. Those kids felt loved. Yesterday also was a gift to parents, as the card noted. Did that tell your story? Did that tell our story? I think so. They recognized, one, it was a safe place to leave their kids. Some stayed for a little bit to kind of get some affirmation that that was the case, but they all left. Every parent left, and in most cases, we had never met them before yesterday. So the story or the witness of Jesus, they felt their kids were safe. So it was behavior and actions. And when they came and picked up their kids, it was a positive. The kids weren't standing at the door screaming and waiting on mom and dad or parents to get here. No, they were in here playing games until their parents came. And some of them was, okay, you know, it's time to go. But they enjoyed it. It was a peaceful place. Yesterday was the telling of the story of Jesus in words, but also in actions. The games were relationship building, to watch kids and adults setting and playing little board games. One young man and I were playing the Jenga game in the back, and I mentioned we had a big one, and before the day was over, the big one was out. But when it got high enough that one of the kids looked up, because it was taller than him, was a big deal. And it was a big deal for him. Listening to the kids yesterday, that was part of the story. Food is another way that you can witness and share the love of Jesus. Those kids love pizza. And I know one young man that really loved pizza, because his plate was full the second time. And he was enjoying the pizza. Music and song is another way to share Jesus. When we sing here, when we sing today, we're living and experiencing Jesus Christ in our lives. We're letting him in to us. And much like stories, music stays with us. I know I can hear a song from 40 years ago. And if I really think about it, it can take me back to some events from 40 years ago. That's how powerful stories and music can be, because they touch our lives. Go tell the story. Share the story. This week, I encourage you to think about your story. How would you share? I wrote this, consider how your witness in the form of a story. Consider how you would do that. I want to scratch out the word consider and put in pray. Pray how your witness in the form of a story might encourage someone you know. And again, these are getting a very kind of personal and maybe a little difficult to approach. But pray about your witness Do you think John the Baptist backed down? It cost him his head, because he didn't. But he shared who Jesus was very clearly. When it seems appropriate and timely, share your story. You know, yesterday, a lot of the sharing was food, relationship, getting to know one another, supporting one another, and even when a kid was a challenge, they didn't get left behind. They were a part of everything. That was very appropriate to reach out and work with those kids. And when mom and dad got back, or mom came in, there was joy. Absolute joy in those kids. They had a good time. They had fun. They had a peaceful, comforting, wonderful day. Tell others who you are. A witness for Jesus Christ. That's who you are. You are a walking witness of Jesus Christ. As a child of God, you have been gifted in so many ways. The Holy Spirit is ready to show you. Jesus wants that experience. And we never know when that may pop up. We never know when someone will come up and engage you in a conversation. And later in the day, you realize, wow, that was a divine moment. I didn't see that one coming. But God, thank you for the words you gave me. But if you've been prayerfully thinking about it, it's all there. And that's the beauty of it. God loves each one of us, always. Never forget that. And if that's the one thing that you can share to others, is that they are a loved child of God, that's powerful. But tell others in whatever manner that works, whatever manner God leads you in that, it's powerful. Who are you? You are a witness and a child of God. As we come to the next portion of the service, it's so easy to go through the motions. To muscle memory kicks in, we get up, we walk when the music starts. As we go through this today, this Advent day of joy, I want to read these scriptures and approach the table with joy, peace, and certainly hope. Matthew 26:26-28, and this is from the English Standard Version. Now as they were eating, and again, upper room, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood from the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." He told us what the elements are. He told us what they represented. And in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." We have that promise. It goes with us everywhere we go. That promise of Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit in us, moving us, leading us. So as we come to the table, let's think how awesome it is that we're coming with Jesus in our hearts and our minds. The Holy Spirit's leading us and the Father is right there with us as we come to this table to share in a gift of Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to join me in prayer. Father God, and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for the joy of this Advent day, as this season of Advent is remembering, of learning more about you and remembering where you have brought us from and where we are headed. And God, as we come to this communion table, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, we thank you for the elements. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the broken body and the shed blood that he has provided us to remember him, to remember you, to share what you have done in our lives. God, I thank you, I praise you, and this whole message, this whole thing of today is all about you. It's not anyone or all of us combined. It's you, God, and we thank you for that. We ask that you will take this and embed it in us, that we can live the life you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
For our time together today. As we continue in this Christmas season, help us so we don't get caught up in the commercialism the world is always pushing. Help us to share your hope, peace, and joy with those we have contact with this week. Amen. And finally, from Jude 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Have a joyous week.